Luke chapter number 23. And this is the story, this is the chapter that tells us about Jesus dying on the cross. And I want to draw your attention. Yes, we're going to talk about Jesus. We're going to talk about him dying on the cross. But sometimes people forget that the day that Jesus died on the cross, he wasn't the only one that was crucified that day. There was actually three people that were crucified that particular day. And the story of these other two men are found in, they're mentioned in three of the four Gospels. And this is where we see the most about them or read the most about them. If you're in Luke 23, verse 39, and if you don't have a Bible, that's fine. I'm going to read it out loud and you can still follow along. But Luke chapter 23, verse 39 says, "And one of the malefactors," okay, that word malefactors talking of means a criminal. In other places, they're called a transgressor in Mark. They are called in Matthew thieves. And so we get a little more information, okay? They've obviously stolen some stuff. That idea of being a transgressor is an interesting word because it just simply means one that has broken the law. And by the way, if you look in the Bible and look at the definition of sin, the Bible says that sin is a transgression of the law. So think about the word transgression. What does it mean? Sin is literally defined in the Bible as when we break one of God's laws. Like, for instance, Adam and Eve was put in the garden. They said, God said, you can eat of any of the trees in the garden except one. And that was his rule. That was his law. And they were a transgressor because they broke the one law that God had given them. So these men apparently have stolen something. They've been convicted. They've broken the law. Again, they're called malefactors here. And which hanged, the Bible says, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." So one of these criminals, one of these thieves, and we'll find out that one of them was on his right-hand side, one of them was on his left-hand side. And the one, let's say on his left, I'm not sure which side the Bible doesn't say, but let's say the one on the left, he starts railing against Christ. Now, again, that's a Bible word, railing. You've probably heard it used before, but when you're railing against somebody, in other words, you're angry at them, you're screaming at them, you're telling them off, you're not happy with them. And so he's railing on this and says, "If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." Now, it's interesting because the one on the other side answers him. But the other thief, answering, rebuked him. So the one on the right hand looks past Jesus and looks at the one on the left hand and starts rebuking him. And he says this, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." Now, what was he saying there? He's saying, listen, we were both guilty. We were found guilty because we did it. And you know what? We've earned where we're at right now. And here you're yelling at Jesus Christ as if you don't deserve what you're getting, but you broke the law and this was the punishment and we're getting what we deserve. And so here's a man that wouldn't admit that he was wrong. Are you thinking about this? Here's a man that is rebuking him saying, you know you were wrong and we both were wrong. And so he says, we're kind of getting what we deserve. And then he addresses Jesus, the one on the right. And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." So here's a man that, if you can picture this, is nailed to a cross. Hands are nailed. His feet's nailed. And he's on the cross. Folks, he can't do anything. He can't go anywhere. He's just hanging there waiting to die. And within a few hours, he will die. Within a few hours, this person dies. This man over here is dying, and he's railing against Christ and questioning him, "If thou be the Christ." So he wasn't even believing that he was really the Christ, the Savior of the world. This man's rebuking him, saying, "Hey, we are getting what we deserve, but this man's not." It said, he went on to say this, and he said unto him, "Jesus, Lord," notice that, "Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now we're going to talk about these two thieves, because I believe that these two thieves represent the entire human race. You can literally divide the entire human race into two categories. And so we'll talk about that this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, dear God. And Lord, we got a lot of things going on, a lot of excitement and a lot of things to look forward to. But Lord, help us not to miss this moment. For somebody, this could be life-changing. For somebody in this room, this hour, this few minutes that we're together could alter their eternal destination. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, that we'd give full attention for the next few minutes, Lord, to what the Bible says. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to talk about three crosses today. Let's start with the middle cross, because I think the middle cross is the most important cross. This is where Jesus Christ is dying. And you say, preacher, who was he? Well, he was the Savior of the world. And you know what? That was testified over and over and over again in the scriptures. John the Baptist came before Jesus. And you know what? He was the one that introduced Jesus to the world and told everyone who he was. He baptized Jesus Christ. And he said, and bear record, the Bible says, that this is the Son of God. So John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. After he baptized him, he watched the Holy Spirit come like in the form of a dove and land upon him. And he told everyone, This is the Son of God. John the Baptist knew who he was. By the way, God the Father, on the day that he was baptized, spoke from heaven and said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we're getting something established here. Who's on this middle cross? It's Jesus Christ. Just another man? No, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the Son of the Most High. And then, you know, the disciples that Jesus enlisted, they knew he was a Son of God. There was a time they were out on a ship, and you know what? They were in a storm, and the storm was about to sink the ship, and Jesus was asleep, and they woke him up. And you know what? He stepped up and commanded the wind and the waves, commanded them to be still. And he said, Peace be still. And next thing you know, there was a calm. And this is what the disciples said. They came and worshiped him in that boat and said, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Hey, if you want some more testimony as far as who he is, there was a lot of demonic activity during the time of Jesus Christ. We see in the Bible that he cast out many demons. By the way, there's a lot of demonic, I believe, activity going on in the world today also. And he had an encounter with what the Bible calls unclean spirits in Mark 3:11. And the unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, Thou art the Son of God. Now listen, we have testimony. Okay, John the Baptist, he's the Son of God. God himself speaks from heaven. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. You know, the disciples were around him for 3 years. Surely thou art the Son of God. Watch this. Demons even recognized him as the Son of God. And then this story, and we won't get into this part of it, but on crucifixion day when he died, after he died, there was a centurion, and he was over the Roman soldiers that had crucified Jesus. But he watched him that day as he was crucified. And at the end of that, he said this, that he feared greatly, saying, Truly, this was the Son of God. Now, folks, listen to me. This man's not going to believe that he's the Son of God. This man believes he's the Son of God. Guess what? You walk around, I could stop people on the street if I wanted to, and I could do interviews and say, Do you believe Jesus was the Son of God? And you know what? Some people are going to say, Absolutely, I believe he was the Son of God. Even in America, there'll be a lot of people. Come on, a lot of people will say, Yeah, I think he was a good man, or I think he was a good teacher, but Son of God, no, I don't really think he was a Son of God. Wait a minute. You're either over here or you're over here. And you know what? I can't make that decision for you, and you can't make it for me. When God created us, he gave us something called a free will. You see, God chose to send his Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And you know what? He gives us a free will. He chose us He chose to die. Jesus chose to die for us. You know what he wants? He wants you to choose him. But you know what? The whole human race is either right here or they're right here. And so Jesus is the Son of God. You say, wait a minute, that's who he is, preacher, but why is he dying on the cross? If he's the sinless Son of God, then why is he dying beside criminals? Well, why was he dying? Well, was he found guilty of some crime? No, by the way, he was tried. He was falsely accused. And Pilate declared him innocent. I mean, they literally questioned him and they had a trial and they said, he's completely innocent. But the Jews, because of envy, wanted him to be crucified. At least part of the Jewish people did. And Luke 23:4, and then Pilate said to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Wow. And then John 19, Pilate then went forth again, saith unto him, behold, I bring him forth to you that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came forth Jesus wearing the crown of thorns, the purple robe. And Pilate said unto him, behold the man. When the chief priest, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said, take ye and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Folks, he wasn't just the Son of God, he was the sinless Son of God. You see, folks, if somebody's going to die for our sins, he can't be a sinner. Because if he died, he'd be dying for his own sins. I couldn't die for your sins, and you couldn't die for my sins, because one thing we all have in common, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's none righteous, no, not one. So if we were going to have someone die for the sins of the world, he had to be, first of all, the Son of God, and secondly, he had to be the sinless Son of God. And the whole time that Jesus was here, he never committed one sin. He was tested. He had to face temptation. But you know what? He never one time sinned. So, preacher, again, then that don't make any sense. Why is he on the cross? Jesus is on the cross because he chose to die for us. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now think about that. I think as a little boy, I knew that Jesus had died on the cross. I seen pictures, you have too. I seen people wearing jewelry. Sometimes I wear a cross, a little crucifix with Jesus on. So I knew he died on the cross. If you'd have asked me, did Jesus die on the cross? I'd say, yes. If you'd have asked me, well, why did he do it? I'd looked at you and went, I haven't the faintest idea. But as I began to go to church, mom and dad began to bring us to church, and the Bible was taught and preached to us, all of a sudden the light came on one day, and I'm like, I know why he died. He died for the sins of the whole world. Wait a minute, this is even more personal. I know why he died. He died for me. And you know, every single one of us in here can say that. And if you say that, it's true of you also. We've all sinned. You know what? No matter how much good I try to do, I can't erase my sin. So how's my sin going to be forgiven? How's it going to be taken care of? Somebody had to die for me. And Jesus died for me. What is the gospel? You ever heard that word, the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So here's the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for my sins, your sins. They buried him. 3 days later, he rose again. You say, well, preacher, I don't think I believe that. That's your choice. Okay, I'm not sure I believe he was the Son of God. That's your choice. Okay, I don't really believe he was sinless. He never did anything wrong. That's your choice. And you know what? Everybody's divided into two categories. And the whole world is going to stand before God one day and be judged. And you know what they're going to be judged on? What you believed about Jesus. What did you do when you found out about the gospel? What did you do with it? Here we have the whole world represented by two men on the cross. We're going to get to them in just a minute. But I want to remind you of this and tell you this again. This is so exciting. I want you to personalize it. I hope God is working in your heart and helping you with this. Listen, God loved you. I'm not saying just everybody else. He loved you. Jesus died for you. He paid for your sins. And he is able then to hold out the gift of eternal life towards each and every one of us. But you know what? Some people will decide, I want to receive that. I mean, Jesus died for my sins, and all my sins are taken care of, and all I've got to do is put my faith and trust in him, believe that he's the sinless Son of God, believe that he died for my sins, call out and ask him to save me. I want that. And there's others that say, I don't know. You know, I want to tell you this. Did you see all the children around here? You know, Jesus said this one time to a group of adults. He said, except you've become like a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, when we preach the gospel to children, they have simple faith. Think about this. They have simple faith. They haven't spent hours and hours reading nonsense on the internet. They haven't grown up, come on, with our own ideas and our own thoughts and being influenced by this. You tell them that Jesus loved them, and you know what they'll say? I'm sure glad he did. You know, folks, if we're going to be saved, we have to have simple faith. Well, preacher, prove that Jesus was the Son of God. If I could prove it, and by the way, I can't, you know what? That wouldn't do you any good, because the Bible says that we have to accept Christ by faith, that we simply believe it by faith. Now, let me talk real quickly about these two men on either side. How about the cross of the believing thief? This is the guy that's a thief, but he believes, chooses to believe in Jesus, chooses to call upon Jesus, and because he was willing to pray and call upon Jesus, and he was promised heaven. So who's this man on the cross over here? Well, he's a sinner. You know, he's a thief. You know, he even admitted it here in this story. But you know what? He was willing to recognize that. He was willing to take responsibility for that. You know, think about it. How many people in America can't take responsibility for their own sins, their own faults? Every time they do something wrong, well, it's because of him, or it's because of her, it's because of my mom, it's because of my dad, it's because of my brother, it's because of society. Listen, if we're not willing to admit and take responsibility for the fact that we are sinners, we are without Christ, we need Jesus as our personal Savior. This man was willing to do that. He realized he was a sinner. He decided to put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that he was the Christ, he was the sinless Savior. He called upon Jesus, Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If in your heart you believe, yes, preacher, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm a sinner. By the way, you're listening to a sinner. We're all sinners, okay? I'm not preaching down to you. I'm preaching across to you. I needed Jesus as much as anybody needed Jesus. But you know, if you're willing to say, I know I'm a sinner, and I do believe that Jesus, I choose by faith to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for my sins, he was buried, rose again the third day, and I choose today to receive him as my personal Savior. You know what? If you make that decision, you're over here. Okay, but that's not the only thief. What about the cross of the unbelieving thief? You say, who was that person? He was a sinner also. So you got this? Here's a sinner, and here's a sinner. Because we're all sinners. Here's the perfect Son of God, died on the cross for their sins. This man says, Lord, recognizes Jesus as Lord, recognizes him as the sinless Son of God, calls upon him and asks him to remember him when he dies. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. This man over here is hurling accusations and mocking. If thou be the Christ, if thou be the Christ. Listen again. The entire human race is represented by these two men. The man on the right side and the man on the left side. And the real question is, what are we going to do with the man on the middle cross? What are we going to choose to believe about him? Are we willing to receive him as our personal Savior? And so we have the cross of the unbelieving thief. He was a sinner also, and he did not believe, and he when he was presented with the truth, still refused to humble himself, still refused to accept Jesus as Savior. By the way, this man dies, and this man dies. Now think about that. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. And so you see how this is representing the entire human race? And what's the difference between this man who went to heaven and this man who ended up in hell? It was what they decided to believe about this man, who wasn't just a man. He was the sinless Son of God. And we've got a lot of exciting things planned for you today, but let me tell you, the most important reason that we are doing all that we're doing is to be able to talk to people about Jesus. You know, we've had a lot of things going on in this country, and I'm not going to get into the news and the politics. And matter of fact, I spend most of my time trying to run from all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you, folks, we live in an uncertain world. And not a one of us is promised tomorrow. Not a one of us. You know, I may not make it home today. And the thing about it is appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment. Well, see, preacher, what's the judgment all about? Are you here? Or are you here? And so if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray that you will today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I want to talk to you just a minute with our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a quick moment. If you're here today and you say, preacher, you know what? As I am listening to you, I feel like God is working in my heart. God is speaking to me. And preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure that I'd go to heaven. I'd sure like to make sure about that. Listen, folks, the gospel is so simple. And the way to be saved is very simple. But you also have to be very sincere in your decision. And let me just say this. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can be saved right where you're sitting today. Say, preacher, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that because of my sin, I don't deserve to go to heaven. But I'm sure glad Jesus loved me and he died for my sins and he was buried and rose again the third day. I'm so thrilled about that. And preacher, I want to be saved today. Jesus chose to love me and I want to choose him to be my Savior today. And many of you in this room, you've already done that. By the way, nobody was born saved. Even people that are at church today saved at one time, they were not saved. But if you're here today and you say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Preacher, what do I need to do? Do you realize that you're a sinner? Do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried and rose again? Do you believe that he was the sinless Son of God? Then do what the thief did. He called upon Jesus. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer. And if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm going to lead you in what I call the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of acceptance. And you're going to have an opportunity right now to receive Christ as your Savior. If you're going to pray this prayer, it's not just a matter of repeating words because the preacher said to. It's a matter of praying this sincerely in your heart to the Lord. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, would you just pray this in your heart? Just say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I do want to go to heaven one day. Please forgive me of my sin. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Jesus, please save me right now. Come into my heart. Make me one of your children.